The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live, Toronto Metropolitan University, or anyone else affiliated. Thank you for listening.
Could you say it one more time? I might have cut that.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Do gamers even like to game?
I know I don't. I'm Stevie.
And I'm Victoria.
And this is Gaming Sucks, the podcast where we talk about, well, how gaming sucks.
But not always. Sometimes it isn't too bad.
Maybe MatPat will make a theory about it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gaming Sucks, the podcast where we don't have any lore yet. This week's topic is lore, and more specifically, how lore sucks. And as you can probably tell from the intro, I am a massive fan of game theory and MatPat. Mm-hmm. When he left, it was like a piece of my soul was shattered.
That's very unfortunate. I miss...
That's very unfortunate. It's so crazy.
No, but it is sad. But I don't hate the new host. I forgot his name. I honestly, like, I watch quite a bit of game theory, but whenever I do watch it, it's more like passive listening. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm doing other stuff on the side as well. So I'm just not, what's the word, like intentionally listening.
That is completely different from me. Like when he used You're locked in. No, literally, when he released his FNAF theories, I would just pause everything else, sit down, and just hyper-focus.
Really?
On his FNAF. Only FNAF. Everything else was like, you know, background noise.
Mm-hmm.
But Five Nights at Freddy's is a game.
I don't think I've watched all the FNAF lore videos from MatPat. I think I watched definitely a good handful of them. I feel like my favorite videos from game theory is definitely the ARG ones. And you know which one really freaked me out? The Doki Doki theory videos?
Yes.
That actually like scared me when I was younger.
Oh my god. So we will get back to ARGs, but why does lore suck exactly? I have so many points on this. I have a lot to say, but I think I'll first start with the oversaturation of lore. And by this, and what I mean is, with MatPat like rising to fame and glory and then having all these videos come out, we've all seen the Hello Neighbor begging tweets.
Oh my gosh.
We've all seen them. And I think that just represents something that is better now that he's gone, to be fair,
mm-hmm.
but it was a real problem where games would kind of just be like, our audience is MatPat and his theories. Our audience is his theories. And a lot of indie games, specifically mascot horror games, which we talked about a lot in episode one.
Oh my god.
Are just like lore machines that are made to get a game theory episode. And that's what I mean by oversaturation, is that lore suddenly, like with the shift of, I think, I'm not blaming MatPat, but
hot take, guys.
Like, I'm not saying that he's bad for the oh my gosh. I'm not saying that he's bad for the gaming industry. Like, based on the intro, I love MatPat. I've mentioned him so many times during these episodes, okay? I love MatPat. Valid. I just think that the internet is a cesspool. And it's not his fault.
I feel like, kind of adding on to your point about, like, the internet, I just think that they really love sniffing out all the evidence, trying to come up with their own conclusion, just in general with, like, cancel culture and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's just the nature of the internet.
And it's worse with gamers.
And it's worse with gamers. Everything is worse with gamers.
As we all know, gamers kind of suck.
Exactly. I know, just everything, look at our two hosts.
Everything, whoa.
I'm kidding. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, we are gamers, but also non-gamers kind of suck. So we're just saying that everyone and everything kind of sucks. that's the podcast. Thank you for coming.
You know what, though? I feel like the point that you said where MatPat may have, quote unquote, like oversaturated the...
No, it's not his fault. He's done nothing wrong. Or it's just not his fault. Please don't blame
me. I'm looking at Stevie with a skeptical look right now, but...
He's my king. If anyone blames him, I'll start crying.
Sorry, let me reword this then.
Thank you.
Just in general, with the oversaturation of lore, I feel like I can agree to disagree with that point.
Okay.
I feel like with that kind of boom in lore videos and lore-based games, I have to say, like, I'm really, really fascinated by them, especially, like, the rise of, like, ARGs on the internet. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the horror lover fan in me speaking, because I love the horror genre, which is why I find them very interesting, and those are the videos I tend to be drawn to.
But hang on, I'm not saying that the lore is bad. I'm just saying that it's kind of this culture of, like, how do we get our lore to blow up? And that, like, a lot of games are essentially storybooks with average gameplay. But that's a problem in indie games. I think that, like, well, honestly, with how big the gaming industry is, there are so many problems, sorry. But I think you can name games that are on both sides of the spectrum. Like, games that their lore is an afterthought and you're just looking at it and you're like, what is this? Who wrote this? Did they even have a writer on this game? Respectfully.
Respectfully,
of course. And then on the other side where it's like, there is a lot of lore here. Like, you could feel the MatPat video that they're craving. You can feel the Hello Neighbor tweets coming from them. And I think that it's a spectrum. The spectrum of lore in games.
I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I feel like this is slightly off topic, but you know, with the release of Arcane and whatnot.
Yes.
How it's like,
Arcane is a masterpiece,
though. It is so good. And, like, people use the actual League of Legends game to kind of sniff out what's going to happen next in the story. I don't know if anyone's seen... Oh, should I say anything about Season 2?
I haven't watched Season
2. Oh, no. Okay, I can't say anything then.
The thing is, I'm waiting for a week. Just 1 week where I can watch it and then be depressed and then cry.
I don't know. I didn't think Act 1 was that depressing. I don't know.
Act 1 of Season 2?
Act 1 of Season 2. I think it's really hype.
I mean, I've been spoiled a lot.
I mean, if you're, like, emotionally attached to any of the characters, I guess you would be, but I'm not.
What?
I just watched the show.
You actually play League. How are you not emotionally attached?
I'm, like, only to Caitlyn. I love Caitlyn. But I kind of like the... This is, like, another hot take here for anyone who's seen Arcane Season 2, but I'm kind of into the way that her character's being drawn out right now. I'll leave it at that. I don't think a lot of people are fans with how the direction they're taking Caitlyn right now, but I love it.
So, based on the spoilers I've seen, and also just knowledge of the game, we knew the ending. Like, League of Legends is how Arcane ends. And to get to that point...
Kind of.
Am I wrong? And no, you play League, you should know.
No, like, here's the thing. I feel like the lore of Arcane, along with, like, the League of Legends lore with, like, Jinx, Vi, Jace, Victor, whoever, they're similar, but they're not exactly the same. Mm. And kind of adding on to your point earlier about how lore, some of the video game lore is questionable. League, I don't think, has the best rep with having good continuity amongst their lore, because they have so many regions and characters.
But, like, the thing with League is that when you have, like, what, it's 13 years old now?
I think 14.
15, some, I don't know.
14 years old. 15. 15. Yeah, right? Yeah, they're 15.
When you have a 15-year-old game, you have definitely gone through a bunch of teams, right? Like, that's just unavoidable. And for things to get lost in translation is, you know, unavoidable. Like, I don't know. I'm not that into League lore.
Oh, it's so good, man.
But, like,
so good.
I think that... Also, I don't think Riot Games is going to post, like, here's a list of what we retconned and here's a list of our... I don't know if they've posted anything like that.
Let me add something to that. You guys should look online. I think there's literally a website for League of, like, the map of Runeterra. So, like, the land that everything takes place on.
Okay.
You can literally... It's an interactive map.
Oh,
you can see
sick.
Where characters are from, the cities of each of those, like, fictional worlds.
That is
worlds.
Really cool.
It's so cool. And then you can look into, like, the character profiles. Mm-hmm. And at each region, they have, like, concept images mm-hmm. of, like, here's what this city looks like. Mm-hmm. Here's what the, like, wildlife is.
That's
and
awesome,
what the
though.
Citizens look like. It's so interesting. I love how much attention is put into the League lore, and it just feels like such a real world, like a real fantasy world, if that makes sense.
No, that's the thing, though. Like, I don't know about any continuity errors they may have, but, like, the way they present their lore is really interesting. Like, other than Arcane, like, I'm not going to talk about Arcane for a second because it, technically this is a gaming podcast and Arcane is not a video game. But,
or is it really?
I just think it's really cool that an animation company makes a video game. I'm sorry, I know that meme's dead, but it's just really funny.
No,
but
it is.
I love the way they present lore in League of Legends. Like, I love the cutscenes. Or not cutscenes, what am I talking about? The kind of animated shorts they post.
Oh, yes, like the Tales of Runeterra.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I love those.
They had one with Fiddlesticks.
I think that was his character trailer, though.
Yeah, that might have been. But just the way they present lore is so incredible. And in-game, too. Like, I love the voice lines they do, and it just makes you interested. Like, they have such a way of, if you're paying attention, you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. What's going on? And especially, Fiddlesticks is actually one of my favorite characters lore-wise.
Really? That is interesting.
I just think he's so fascinating. And he's cool. I love his voice actor. Fun fact, his voice actor is Kellen Goff, who voices Glamrock Freddy in Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. just thought I should mention
Whenever I think of Glamrock Freddy, I think of the internet, and the internet says some really interesting things about Glamrock Freddy, and I'm like...
No, we're not getting into that.
Let's not get there. Let's not jump to that boat, but...
Vanessa, I'm a material... Let's stop talking. Those memes? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's like 2020 TikTok.
Oh, 2020 TikTok.
Besides the point.
Okay, so I know you're not an Overwatch player, and I'm constantly surprised because... And don't take this the wrong way. You look like an Overwatch player.
I don't take offense to that. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, though.
I don't think it's offensive. I know some people will think it's offensive, but that's not how I mean it. I just feel like... But also, it comes with playing Valorant. Like, if you play Valorant, you're a little expected to play Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, I've never touched Overwatch before. All I know is D.Va, Mercy, and Tracer.
Okay.
That's, like, all I know. I didn't even know there was, like... Apparently, there's a Toronto map, which is kind of
sick. Yeah, there is.
Is that Overwatch 2, though?
Yeah, it's Overwatch 2, which...
Oh, yeah, and that whole, like, we hate Overwatch 2.
I have some feelings about Overwatch 2. I don't hate it. Like, I just think that I have a lot of feelings about it as an Overwatch 1 player. I think that, like, because of the state of Overwatch 1, they felt maybe more compelled to make Overwatch 2. But also, I think that they made a mistake not keeping up the development of Overwatch 1. And kind of, like, pausing that to work on Overwatch 2.
What happened to 1? What's the lore here?
Basically, no, like, it's completely understandable the choices they made. I personally would have liked them to work on Overwatch 1. But, and I might, like, they did still work on the game, don't get me wrong. It's just that their focus was shifted to Overwatch 2. So after, like, Echo was released, they were like, hey, we're shifting to Overwatch 2. And this is not about lore, actually. But, well, actually, it is kind of lore, like a meta lore, but, and they kind of didn't update Overwatch 1 as much, and people were very frustrated with that, and as a player, it's very frustrating, but now having, like, experience working in kind of a game studio, not really, with Game Makers Union, I understand why they did that. And obviously, I'm not saying Game Makers Union is on the level, oh my gosh, is on the liver of Blizzard Entertainment. But on a much smaller scale, I can definitely see how tough it would be, right? You know Yasuo and Yone?
Yes.
From League of Legends?
Of course I do.
Of course. Everyone knows Yasuo and Yone. Yone, oh my God. I love their lore. However... I think it's interesting because Overwatch, do you know Hanzo and Genji by any chance?
No.
They kind of have the same story.
Are they, like, brothers?
So they're brothers, and then Hanzo, forgive me, I don't know the full lore, but Hanzo had to kill Genji, but didn't kill Genji, and Genji came back as, like, part robot.
Oh, that's...
So it's
a little similar, right? That reminds me of something.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they, like, I think it's just a coincidence, frankly. Like, I think it's just... Good storytelling.
Who came first?
I mean, League is old, but I don't know when they did the lore.
I think, well, Yone's...
The lore!
The Yone. I think Yone's a lot newer, but I don't know anything about Overwatch, so I don't know the timeline.
Yeah, I don't know the timeline either.
Questionable.
Which, I don't know. I think, honestly, if the storytelling is really good, I don't mind something similar. Yeah. And I think that both League and Overwatch do it really well. Okay, please tell me you've seen at least one Overwatch cinematic, though.
I've seen the Le Seraphim and Overwatch
Perfect Night music. This podcast is over. I no longer feel safe with my co-host. Someone get me out of here.
That's the only video.
But
the or over, like the, what about the, sorry, the Kiriko trailer? Question
That's
mark?
Not their best. Their best is definitely their Hanzo and Genji short.
Bro, I had no idea Overwatch had lore. I didn't even know what Apex had lore.
Well, like, of course Overwatch had... Okay, also, I don't know if this is true, because how old were we in 2016 when Overwatch came out?
I was, what, 10, 11?
Oh my god. Yeah, me too. Okay, wow, I was 11 in 2016. That kind of hurts a little.
That's crazy.
That feels weird. 2016 feels like yesterday for me.
Yeah, that's what I remember. But that was like 2018, the peak of Overwatch.
2018 feels like yesterday. But anyway. Yeah,
that's actually true.
So I was 11 when Overwatch came out. So I don't know about the gaming industry back then. But I back think then. That back in my day, when I was 11 in my day, mm-hmm. I think that Overwatch's approach to like voice lines and dialogue in game was just ingenious. And I think that made people love the game even more. And get into the lore and attach themselves to the characters even more. Because I think Overwatch, and this is maybe a fact, honestly, but Overwatch's driving force is really its characters. And I think that the love they put into their characters is so obvious. And although I may not love every single character, Wrecking Ball, Wrecking Ball, Doomfist, who else do I hate? Anyway, not the point of this episode. Just because I don't like a character does not mean that that character is not good. But just you can see the love and, like, character design and appreciation and everything that they put into these characters. And I think it's really sweet. I also see that in League of Legends, too. Mm-hmm. Like, League isn't interesting because they have so many characters and you can't switch your character when you're in-game.
Wait, but you can also do that in Overwatch?
Yes! What? Oh. That's like the main point!
Bro, I don't know anything about Overwatch.
That's like the main thing! What do you mean?
That's interesting.
That's the main
thing. So you don't
thing.
Commit to a character? That's wild.
You don't
wild.
Commit to a character.
That's crazy.
Okay, so Overwatch is a game for people with commitment issues, is what I'm hearing. But I don't know. I think just the characters in League are so interesting. And I don't know. I love them. I love the characters.
I love it. I love their voice. Like, okay, back when I used to play with the voice lines and audio, like...
Did you stop? For what reason?
No, I just listen to music now whenever I play League.
That's how far in you are.
Yeah,
you
like, are... I don't need audio. Okay, well, League, you don't really need audio. Besides the point. But like...
Well, I've played League for all of 20 hours, so...
Well, I don't... Well, League is not one of those games where you need audio. Valorant, you need to, though.
Well, Valorant, you have to have audio, otherwise you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
But that was an Undertale reference. My bad. Speaking of Undertale...
Okay, okay.
No, I'll get to that in 2 seconds. I like the audio in League because I have horrible vision to the point where sometimes I see people I know walking by and it takes me until they're right in front of my face to actually recognize their face.
Oh.
So I'll just be like, oh, hey, and I think that doesn't blend well sometimes with games, and I don't notice maybe some of the effects of them, like, doing their effects. Not effects, doing their abilities.
Their effects.
They're doing their effects. Yeah, it was really crazy when Yasuo started dancing in the middle of the game.
I don't know if you realize this in League, but something that's really interesting is that when two specific characters interact, they have... like, unique voice lines.
Yes!
And that's kind of like a sneak peek into, the, I guess, the lore.
I love that. And Overwatch does that, too.
And yeah, you get to know more about the relationship between the two characters.
What word did you say? The L word? The lore!
Oh, my God. I was like, did I say something wrong?
Speaking of wrapping things up, I think a lot of games... And I know cliches are a thing across genres, but I think video games kind of... are especially susceptible to that because the gaming community is the way it is. And people are very quick to be like, oh, you guys copied these guys or this and that. And I know coincidences, like, aren't the most believable, but sometimes they happen. And it's like we were talking about with Yasuo and Yone and then Hanzo and Genji. Like, I don't know. I think that the characters are different enough for it to not really affect anything for me personally.
Yeah.
You know a game with interesting lore?
Enlighten me.
That we might have to record another disclaimer. The last time we talked about this game, we did have to record a separate disclaimer. Yandere Simulator.
Oh my god. Okay, that game was kind of looming in my head, but I wanted you to bring it up.
The lore of Yandere Simulator is very interesting.
Oh my god, don't get me started on all that. The rivals and stuff. Oh my goodness.
What rivals? There's like one.
No, but like the...
No, I'm just kidding, I know.
The 10 rivals, some of them were really questionable. Like, I don't think I realized it when I was a kid, but now looking back at it, I'm like...
I will always take an opportunity to talk bad about someone like Yandere Dev.
He's not a good person.
When you go back, like I recently went back to some of his videos and the language was so manipulative.
I know.
And you just think, oh, I was a kid. Like, I know why I believed him now, because I was a little baby.
Yeah, no, when I was younger, like, I supported his project. I supported his views.
And you were like, why is everyone... Well, I was like, why is everyone bullying him? Like, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, like, we shouldn't be spamming his email with, like, fan art. Like, or, like,
how can he be expected to work in these conditions?
Yeah, but now, just looking back, it's, like, off topic, but it's ridiculous.
And also, just now being in university life myself, emails are so easy to ignore.
And, like, there's nothing wrong with hiring, like, an administration person to deal with that.
But he would have to double check their emails.
Yeah.
Because he, like, he's just so committed to the process, and he does everything right. He's such a perfectionist, and none of his code is spaghetti. And lore-wise, I think Yandere Simulator, like, was based... off a very specific concept, and then the lore for that was not adequately fleshed out, and so he's just kind of making stuff up as he goes, or at least that's how it feels like. And then the stuff he's making up sucks. I can't think of one game that doesn't have lore. Can you?
No, I can't.
Like, well, lore is an interesting
word.
Does
Pac-Man have lore?
I think actually he does.
He does? He probably does.
It depends on your definition of lore, but I think lore and narratives are crucial to games. And
yeah.
Like, imagine a game with no narrative and no lore, and it's just like gameplay and just like a vague
story. What was that game called? Pong?
Cup Pong?
Not Cup Pong.
Oh.
What was that game called where you just like...
I mean, Cup Pong doesn't have lore, but...
It's like one of the earliest arcade games. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Was that the name of it? I don't remember.
I know what you're talking about. And, like...
That's, like, the only game I can...
Yeah, those old school games. But talking more modernly, I think story and lore is just crucial to every game.
It's so crucial.
And writers are... I'm biased. I'm so biased. Writers are really important. You know,
I agree.
Writing producers specifically.
I think, kind of to add on to your point, I think creating a narrative with the game, it kind of just comes naturally. I don't think sometimes you even think about it.
Mm.
It just happens sometimes, at least in my perspective.
It depends on the game. I mean, like...
There has been instances. I can't think of a specific game right now, but there has been times where a narrative kind of just came to be. Just things added up, and there you go. We have a story. It wasn't intentional by the creator. But again,
I mean, I haven't produced my own game yet, but I think that having written my own things, it is always best when it flows and when you're really happy about it.
Oh, for sure.
And I think it's just amazing when it just comes out and, like, you're having the time of your life. Indie games, by a lot, have amazing lore.
I think so. And I feel like your game, in terms of the mechanics of it, even if it lacks in that department, if you have a very strong story to go along with your game, people don't remember that. They remember the story and how it makes them feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's so important about... And what makes video games so unique is the way that they tell their stories and how you interact with it. And sometimes you can write your own stories, you know, in Fire Emblem Three Houses, right? You follow a narrative you like the best. And that's what I just find very, very compelling about, like, video game lore.
But hey, that's just why lore kinda sucks. Thanks for watching. And please don't sue me, MatPat. No one tell him about this. We've been your sort of pessimistic hosts.
And this has been Gaming Sucks.
Thanks for playing.